Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back. Today's Daf is Sanhedrin Daf Samach. We are holding on to Tes Amud Beis on the very last line. So Rabbi Shimon adds another item to the list of the seven mitzvahs pertaining to the Bnei Noach, to the non-Jews. Rabbi Shimon Aymer Afal Kishuv. If they engage in kishuv and sorcery of all forms, they are chayev misa. My Talmid Rabbi Shimon. What's his source? Tchsiv mechashef aleisech chayev. So later on, regarding Bnei Yisrael, the Torah pairs together the prohibition of getting involved with kishuv and getting involved with an animal physically. So the Torah puts it together in the same pasuk. Mechashef aleisech chayev ksiv. In the next pasuk, actually, kol shoychiv and behemu moisumos. So that's the drasha called semuchin, when two things are paired together, very close to each other. There's a correlation, and we connect the two. Kol shiyesh nebechal kol shoychiv and behemu. Anyone who's obligated to adhere to refraining from interacting with an animal in this fashion, such as even a goy, right? It's one of the arayis. Even for the Bnei Noach, we had this the other day, right? So if that applies to him, yeshnoi b'chlam mechashefa loisachayis. So the other half also applies to him. Don't get involved in mechashefa and kishuv. And that's why we added on the list. Rebelezo imar fal kilayim. Crossbreeding animals, cross-grafting trees of different species is also to Bnei Noach. How do we know this is true? Amar shmol amakro. So the pasuk regarding Kelaim pertaining to Bnei Yisrael, it says, "Eschukaisat Yishmoir." It starts with a reference to pre-established laws of Kelaim, right? Eschukaisai, those laws you must adhere to, indicating that those laws had already been presented earlier to the Bnei Noach. Chukim, the laws of Kelaim shechokakti lechokvar, which I have already established for you. This teaches us that even Bnei Noach are meant to adhere to the laws of Kelaim. And the pasuk continues. Which laws? Behem tcholes abriya kelayim, v'sot tcholes izra kelayim. So animals, right? All types of kelayim. And we learn that by a guy, only very specific, distinct forms of kelayim are asr. Crossbreeding animals, which are distinct entities, and you're sort of mixing it up. And same with trees, but not regarding plants and things like that. And that is also derived from this pasuk, which mentions two examples of kelayim, starting with behema, and we compare it to everything to behema. Ma behemtcha bahar bo, just like by the animal. The issue is crossbreeding. Afsotcha bahar kova. Likewise, when it speaks about kelayim in the field, we're not speaking about plants that are mixed up, which are also to Yisrael, but to a goy, it's only if it's cross, breeding, sort of crafting trees. Afsotcha bahar kova. It's called a davar mesuyam. Rashi says something distinct, something prominent, or you're mixing it up, that's the problem. But not regarding, plants and things like that. And furthermore, we can learn from the connection between behema and kelayim. Ma behemtcha, just like the isser of kelayim by behema, is not land-related. It's not Eretz Yisrael-related. It's personal, right? Bein ba'aretz, b'nechutz lash, whether you're living in Eretz Yisrael or outside of it. It's called chayvas haguf. It's personal obligations, which applies everywhere. Av sadcha. Same thing regarding the aspect of kelayim alluded to in this pasuk regarding trees. Absalcha bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz applies even outside Eretz Yisrael. Ela mi'atav, that's the case. That when we start with es chukaisai tishmeru, it's alluding to a pre-established law. So what about later on? You have a pasuk which refers to the entire Torah and all its laws, and begins with the words of Shmartem es chukoisai, es mishpatai. Right? Does that mean chukim shechakakti l'chakvar? Chukoisai means already known, already established. So that means goyim ha-metzuva are commanded to do all the mitzvahs in the Torah? No. Hasam Shmartem es chukoisai. The order of the words, these seders, a bit different. By kelayim it says chukoisai, and then Tishmoiru. There it's the other way around. Ushmartem, adhere to the chukoisai. The hashta that I'm telling you now. Hachaba by the kalayim goes the other way. Es chukoisai, the pre-established laws, tishmoiru, adhere to them. which indicates chukim de mikara tishmeru, the original laws, the old laws, which were already given to Bnei Noach, that's what we should keep, indicating that kelayim applies to them as well. Omer Rishon ben Karcha. Okay, back to the Mishnah, which speaks about a mevarech es Hashem, chas v'shalom, a person that applies a curse to the Shem Hashem. So the Gemara will explain which name of Hashem is he, you know, going to be referring to here. Which name does he have to verbalize? Omar Achabar Yaakov. We have the full name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? We have half the name, you know, the short name, Yud Kei. So which? Einu Chayiv Atshivorech Shem Ben Arba Oisis. He's only liable to Misa if he applies a klala to the full Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, Fuke Ben Shtei Oisis, as opposed to, you know, only a short form name of Hashem, so to speak, Yud Kei. In that case, it's not chayiv. Pshita, obviously, the Mishnah says so. Because when the Mishnah cites an example of what he did, it says, Yake Yaisei es Yaisei Tanan. And Rashi explained because Yaisei has four letters, which correspond to the Shem Hashem of four letters, clearly. He must refer to the primary name of Hashem, comprised of four letters. No, Maldutema, perhaps we're just citing an example. Musa Balmadanaka, the Yaisei is not really fully corresponding to the name of Hashem. It's just an example. But the amount of letters aren't really, you know, representative of the... So even a short form name of Hashem would work as well, would qualify. Kamashmon, the point is no. Yaisi means specifically Yaisi because it has four letters corresponding to the four letters of Hashem's primary name. Ikad Amri, there's another version. Amar Bach Mar Yaakov, Shmamino, Shem Ben Arbi Yaisi is Nami Shemhu. The fact that the Mishnah cites Yaisi as a mashal for the Shem Hashem, that's because the Shem comprised of four letters, Yud, K, Vav, K. It also qualifies. You don't need. He doesn't have to verbalize the long name of Hashem, which comprises of 42 letters, in order to be Chayiv. Four is enough. Pshita, obviously. Yaki, Yasi, Yasi, Tanan. Mishnah cites Yasi. Apparently four letters is enough. Modedim, perhaps I would say. Adi, Kashem, Rav. No, perhaps you need a longer name of Hashem to be liable. Musa, Umusa, Ba'amu, Denakat. And the Mishnah is just picking an example, but it's not, you know, depicting the accurate number of letters. Kamashma, the point is no. The word Yasi is exact because it has four letters corresponding to the four-letter name of Hashem. Nigmar Adin. After they finish deliberations and they're about to issue the verdict, we can't just suffice with Yasi and Yasi. We have to actually hear it. The Dayan have to actually hear the way it was said. So Mishnah says they call in the they send out the public and they call in the Edom, and the senior member of the Bezdin turns to the the Bezdin turns to the senior aide and says, please tell us exactly what you heard. He repeats it verbatim, right? Unfortunately, he has to say it out, and Dayanim are very distressed. They're standing and listening and they tear their begadim and they don't mend it, right? It's a permanent tear as an expression of anguish. So why are we telling them to get up? Why do they have to stand when they hear Hashem's name? Ma'imdin minolam. Let's find a source for that. Amar b'yisrael bar amidam akwele pasik. Regarding when they sent a message to the king of Moav, and the messenger's name was Ehud. So when he arrived, Ehud ba'elav, and he came to the king, v'yoshe ba'aliyas ha'makara, and he was sitting up there, ba'aliyas ha'makara, ashaloy levadai, v'yame Ehud. So the messenger turns to the king, devar lekim le'lekecha. I have a message from Hashem, and he verbalizes Hashem's name. And the king, out of respect, jumped up. So we learn, we can build a kavachem. Look, even a guy, the king of Moav, Melech Moav, Shu Nachar, is a guy. He didn't really understand, he didn't really comprehend or appreciate or even know the true primary name of Hashem. It was given to him, Bekina, Ela Bekina. He said, El Kim, which is a secondary name. Still, out of respect, he got up. Amat. Of course, a Yisrael. V'shem ha'mefeirosh. He hears the primary name of Hashem. Of course. Achaz kam kam. Sure. Standing is appropriate. Okay, now they tear the begadim koirin. Menol, how do we know that's appropriate? T'chsiv. Because when Sancheriv sent this fellow, Revashka, who the Gemara later will say was a Yisrael mumar, he was Jewish, but he was not exactly, right? And he came and he uttered a klala chas v'shalom to Hashem, v'yavel yakim ben chilkiyah v'shavna soifer v'yapen asa maskez al chizkiyah. They came to the king, and he noticed that their begadim were torn, kuri begadim, And they related to him what they heard from this fellow, Birchas Hashem. So we learn from there, when a person hears Birchas Hashem, Kriyas Begadim is in place. They tear it, but they don't. They'll never fix it. How do we know it stays that way forever? We learn through Gzeirah Shava, we connect the word Kriya to a different place, Kriya, where Elisha, the Talmud of Eliyahu HaNavi, tore his Begadim. When Eliyahu left him, Chsiv Hachat. So over here, where the listeners of the Birchas Hashem, it says Kruei Begadim, their Begadim were torn. We have Kruei, Uksiv Hasim, and over there by Eliyahu, we have Elisha, Royas, whom it's Saik. And he's calling out, Avi, Avi, my father, Rechav Shol Prasav, Veloro Oidin, and he disappeared by Yachseik, with Godav, and he took hold of his garments, Vayikroim, Lishnaim Kroim, he ripped them apart. Now, Mimashna Shenemar, Vayikroim Lishnaim. Now, once it says, torn into two, any idea, Shein Kroim, don't I already know it's torn? Why does it have to repeat itself? Matam Aleimar, it says, he tore it Lishnaim Kiroim, to teach us that it stays torn for all time. Melamed Shekara. Melamed Shehein Kruin Lo'ilam. We learn from here, Shehein Kruin Lo'ilam, that it stays that way for all time, as, you know, a permanent testimony to this unfortunate episode. Tanur Rabbanan. Echad HaShemeya. So this applies to whether a person actually hears Birchas Hashem from a person who applies the you know, the klal. Ve'echad HaShemeya Pi Shemeya. Or whether you heard it secondhand, the Dayan, right? Who hears it from the Eid, heard it from the Chayiv, the Kroy. Either way, you have to do Kriya. Ve'edim, but the Eidim themselves, who are now relating the episode in the Bezdin, although they're verbalizing the words, in Chayiv and the Kroy, they need not do Kriya because they already did so. The first time they heard it from that fellowship, Kvar Karu, B'Sho HaShasham. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? But now they're hearing it again. V'chi Karu B'Sho HaShasham, just because they did it then, my Havi. What does it help them today? Hokoshami Hashta. Now they're hearing it from themselves, right? No, we're not going to suggest that they have to do it again, the Chsiv, because we see in the Pasuk, which provides a source for this concept by Chizkiyo, when he heard the terrible stuff that Rav Shake said, he tore his begadim. Hamelech Chizkiyo, he kara. But they who testified, although they verbalized it, loikaru, they didn't repeat it again since they already did it the original time. If one hears a klala from a guy against Hashem, there's no need to do kriya. Vim Taimar. Now, you'll ask a question. But you see, by Rav Shake, they tore their begadim. We're assuming he was a guy. No, Yisrael Mumar Haya. He was actually a forlorn Jew, and therefore his expression has more value, more meaning, and is more consequential. V'amar Avidam Ashmuel, Ein Koirin Ella Al Shem HaMiyuchad B'Vat. So this halacha, it says that the Kriya is limited to when you hear a Birchas Hashem relating to Hashem's primary name, the Yud Kei Vav Kei. B'Vat. Lafuke B'Kinu Diloy. As opposed to when the bracha was related to a kinoy, a secondary name of Hashem, that does not necessitate kriya. Upligud rabbechia. Now, we have a machlekes regarding these two, you know, halachis, because this is going to be in dispute of rabbechia on two accounts, tarbayu. The first point was that when it's from a goy, there's no kriya. The second point is, by kinoy, there's no kriya. Rabbechia disagrees on both accounts. Om rabbechia. Hamashemeya skor bezmanazeh. Nowadays, if a person hears this type of stuff, Bezdin cannot really, mete out judgment. They're not really in control. Eino yuchayev lekruyas. Now there's no need to do kriya. You know why? Because there's no end. Shim I ato emekein. If you don't agree with me, meaning you require kriya, even nowadays, nismala kol abeged kroyim. Since the Bezdin's authority is not, out there, it's not imposed on the goyim, so anybody can do it, on the yidden as well. So there's no no way to control it, and therefore, it's just uncontrollable situation, and therefore we don't make we don't give it the same. We can't relate to it as we did in the olden days, and therefore we don't do kriya. Now, who are we speaking? Who did the Birchas Hashem today? Miman, Ilema Yisrael. Did he hear it from Yisrael? How could you absolve him from doing Kriya? You're saying otherwise it's endless. Since when are Yisrael so hefker, so disregarding of this concept? Chas v'shalom. Ela pshita moivet kuchav. Apparently you heard it from a guy. Now, v'im b'shem ha-miyuchad. So, we're speaking about it from a guy. Now, what name of Hashem did he use? The primary name? Migmiri? They don't even know it. Ela b'kini. Apparently they use the secondary names. Ushmamin. Oh. So once we've established that this exemption of Bezman Hazeh applies to listening from a guy and listening to the kinui, that tells us that it's only an exception, Bezman Hazeh, because of the circumstance. But theoretically, conceptually speaking, right, Bezman Hazeh with Deloitte, only nowadays you're not chayv, because otherwise it's just going to be an endless proposition. Ha-mikar, but in the olden days when Bezin's rule was ironclad, chayv, you have to do kriya even under these circumstances, even from a guy, even bikini, shmanu. That's right. The Rabbi in fact holds that applies to those cases as well, in contrast to the earlier opinion. So Mishnah says that the aide relates what he heard, and his teammate, the second aide, doesn't have to actually repeat it. He just says, "Ditto, yep, exactly as such." Asheni oima afani kamayu. I also heard the same. Amr Shlokish, Mamino. We learn from here, right? The fact that the second aide doesn't have to personally verbalize the words of the klal again after already being done by the first aide. Af ani kamayu kasha. This formula of saying, well, me too, works in all types of litigations, financial issues, and even death penalty court cases. So the second aide can just basically confirm, says, well, exactly as such. He doesn't have to actually say over the whole story. V'malo David Rabbanon, true Rabbanon, made an extra mila, an extra chumrah, that all the Adam have to, express exactly what they saw, what they heard individually, without, confirming a ditto. And therefore, over here, by the Kalalas Hashem, since we can't do it, it's not, we don't want to make a Chil Hashem and elaborate on this more than absolutely necessary, Rabban reverted back to the Dindai Raisa, which basically allows the second and third and fourth aid, instead of repeating exactly what they heard and what they saw, just to say, ditto, I agree with the first aid. Because otherwise, if you would suggest that puzzle, that menat Torah, every aid has to actually verbalize exactly what, when, and where. Hacham Hashem Delo Yefshar, which is over here, just because it's a difficult situation. Kat Lina Lagav, we're going to kill the Makalal without a proper offering of testimony. Apparently, it's okay. Saying ditto works, and therefore, it's acceptable. Vashlishi Oyim Afrani Kamayu. And just like the second teammate, second aide, confirms the first person's aidus. Same thing with the third teammate, fourth teammate, on and on. So the fact that the Mishnah requires the third teammate, because really you only need two aidim, right? The fact that he's required even to, contribute his input, stama, Rabbi Akiva, indicates that this Mishnah is a stam like Rabbi Akiva. The Makis Shleish L'Shnayim, because Rabbi Akiva and Masechas Makis Daf Hey, we'll see by the Hashem, he says that even when there are three, four people on the Eidus team, more than necessary, they're all considered valid Eidim regarding many halachis. Therefore, they all have to relate what they heard. Okay, so in summation, Berachas Hashem is only by the Hashem ben Arba Isis, by the Israel, and the person who hears Hashem has to get up, and there's kriya involved, a permanent kriya regarding a guy, a machlekes, whether or not there's kriya. And whether there's kriya by a kine, by the secondary name of Hashem, machlekes here. And we learned about Bezman Hazeh that if it's from a goy, there's no chiv kriya. Okay, says the Mishnah. Ha'ibud avodas kochav. Person worships idols. So basically, the different forms of worship can be split into two categories. Derech avodaso, right? If this act is typical for this specific idol, right, it's an acceptable form of worship for this idol, then one who engages in that act is chayev, whatever it may be, It can be even the most unusual type of act. Hugging, kissing, whatever it is. And that's learned from a separate pasuk. Rashi says, the pasuk of Eicha Yavdu Hagoyim Eilas Elohim. A person says, well, why are the Goyim allowed to worship and I can't? So that's referring to Darka, when it's something which is meant for this idol. Second category is things which are not Darka, not really meant for this specific idol, but since we find it in the Beis HaMikdash, Lahavdil by Karbanes, Shechita, right, Zrika, Haktara, burning on the Mizbeach. So any of those which are applied to an idol constitutes Avodah Zarah. There's one more thing, which is Hashtach Avoya, bowing. We'll learn from a pasuk. Under all circumstances, one who bows to any idol is Chayav Misa. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Oved Avodah Zarah Chavim. Echad Oved means, if it was done, Kedarka. He did something which is appropriate for this idol, which is prescribed for this idol. It's the derech for this idol. Or alternatively, he does things which are not really meant for this idol, but these are things which are considered forms of worship in the Beis HaMikdash, right? V'achadam mezabech, he does shechita. To the Avodah Zarah. V'achadam makt, makater, he burns on the altar there, right? For the Avodah Zarah. So he burns something, you know, in front of the Avodah Zarah. V'achadam menasech, or he pours wine, or whatever. V'achadam meshtach, or he bows. V'achadam mekabloi olav l'liha. Or a person simply verbalizes that he's accepting this, the authority, this Avodah Zarah, as his own God, or he turns to him directly and says, "You're my God." But if he just simply hugs, v'amenasha, kisses, v'machabed, sweeps in front of the v'amarabitz, washes down the, you know, the dirt, you know, on the floor, v'amarachitz, or he washes the dessert itself, v'asach, he anoints it, v'amalbish, dresses it, v'amanel, puts shoes on. These are not really forms of worship. So in these situations, again, if it's not the prescribed mode of worship of this Avodah Zarah, it's simply an expression of endearment, all that. There's a Lois Asay, Rashi says, because it says Lois Avdeim again, to tell you that even these types of activities are also, even though there's no Misa, but it's also with a love. Hainayi Rishmoy, a person makes a nether, right? All fruits in the world are also to me, and he relates it to the Avodah Zarah. Right? He's sort of rooting in the Avodah Zarah, making the nether based on the Avodah Zarah, and committing to the Avodah Zarah. Or he makes a shvuah, an oath, citing the Avodah Zarah. He has done a Leis Asay. Now, in line with the point that any form of activity which is considered designated form of worship for this Avodah Zarah, Darka Bekach, generates Misa. So in line with that, we say HaPoyer Atzmi L'Bal Poyer, a person tends to his personal needs. And she says Matris Rei B'Fonav, solid ways in front of Avodah Zarah. Zuvedosa, that's the prescribed method of worship, and it's Chayiv Misa. Likewise, Hazorik Evel Malkoilus. Malkoilus was a stone arrangement, one on the right, one on the left, one on top, and you stone it, you throw stones at it. That was the way to worship it. Zuvedosa, and it's Chayiv Misa. Now, Mishnah begins with Echad O'Evid, whether he worshipped or he did, etc. I mean, isn't that a repetition? My Echad O'Evid, Amar B'Yirmiyah, Hachik Amar, as we explained, Echad O'Evid Kedarka. That's category number one. He did something which is Kedarka, that's one thing. Alternatively, there are some activities which are so prominent, so chashiv, because they're applied in the Beis HaMikdash, those, when done to Avodah Zarah, also constitute Avodah Zarah and Chayiv Misa. Even if it's not really the prescribed method of worshipping this Avodah Zarah. There's one more avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, which is not mentioned. Zrika of the Dam. Right? Applying the Dam on the Mizbeach. It is covered in the Mishnah as well. Zorek is really another form of Hainu Manasseh. Manasseh means he pours the wine, so pouring the blood is the same thing. So the Mishnah says Menasech, it covers Zerik as well. The Chesiv Bal Asach Neskei Midam, we find the Lashon Nesach by Dam as well. So in the Mishnah we covered Dam, we covered blood being poured, or wine. Minanimli, how do we know this is true? That in these Avodahs, like Shechita and Zrika and all that, Yuchayiv, if done to Avodah Zarah, even if it's not the Derech, to worship this particular Avodah Zarah in this fashion. Tana Rabban. Ilu nemar zaveach yachram. The pasuk says zaveach leElohim yachram. If it wouldn't say Elohim, one who slaughters an animal, he gets severely punished, right? He gets misa. What's it referring to? Where did he put the animal? Where did he? I would think b'zaveach kachim b'chutz kachim b'davar. We know that one is forbidden to take a carbon and do the shechita outside the mikdash. So perhaps that's what the pasuk is referring to. The pasuk adds a word leElohim zaveach leElohim yachram. He does shechita to an idol. Apparently, b'zaveach. We're speaking about a person that shechita avodah zarah. Right. So what do we see from here? That shechita avodah zarah is chayav regardless of whether it's the derech or not the derech. It doesn't say oived lele. It says oiveach. This act, this form of avodah, which is part and parcel of the Beis HaMikdash process, if it's then diverted to avodah zarah, you're chayav. Even if this form of activity is not meant for the Avodah Zarah. Because it's, you know, it's like a perversion. He's taking some... So we've just established this concept by Zvich. Okay, what about other Avodahs? How do we know that when they're diverted to Avodah Zarah, you're chayiv? Mekater, Menasach, Menaitam, Olam, Bilti L'Hashem Levadi. These things are meant exclusively for Hashem. Rikain ha'avoidahis kulam, he designated all the avoidahis of the Beis HaMikdash, kulam l'shem ha'miyuchad, specifically for Hashem, only for Hashem. And if it's diverted to avodah zarah, it's bad news. So now, l'fishiyotza zvicha lidoin b'avoidahis pnim, once we've established that, the singling out of zvicha, right, everybody says in the Torah, don't go worship Avodah Zarah. Singling out Zvicha, Zaveach L'Elohim tells us this point. Really was included in the other, in the general, you know, umbrella of Avodah. Why did the Torah single it out? And we have a klal that when the Torah singles something out, it's meant to indicate, reveal something regarding everything. Just as Zvicha is unique because it's an Avodah for the Beis HaMikdash. So when it's diverted, it's bad news. Likewise, all other avodahis pnim, all other elements of hakrovas hakarven the Beis HaMikdash, if they're done outside to the avodah zarah, it's chayiv misa. L'vishiyotz zvicha lidin b'avodahis pnim, to indicate that any element of avodahis pnim have this severe repercussion. Minayin l'rabbis hashtachavo. What about bowing? Bowing isn't really an element of avodah the Beis HaMikdash. We do it, but it's not technically part of the Avoid. What if that's not Avodah Zarah? When it's not called Derech, when it's not the prescribed method of worshiping Avodah Zarah, how do we know that also has the same weight? Possibly singling out. Bowing is different than everything else. Bowing is chayiv regardless. Right? And he gets punished. So we've just internalized that there's an einish for shtachavot avodah zarah. Azhar minay, what about a warning? Where's he warned? Lemi ki lois shtachav leilacher. Don't bow to avodah zarah. Yochel shani marv hamagav. You know, once we're going this far, take it all the way. Just like he's chayiv for bowing, which is an expression of, you know, endearment and respect, that gets him misa. So perhaps all forms of endearment, hamagav, if I'm nashik or manu, right? Hugging and kissing. Tamalayim, no. Zaveach, let's go back to that pasuk. It says Zaveach l'Elohim yachram. We're limited. Zvicha b'chal hoisa. So like we said before, really zvicha, which means shechita, avodah zarah was really included in the original pasuk. Don't go worship avodah zarah. V'lomayat. So why did Torah mention it separately? As we explained, l'akashaleh, to connect everything to zvicha, l'melach, to indicate to you Ma zvicha, just like shechita miyuchedes, what's unique about it? She avodah zarah pnim. It's done inside the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore b'chayev n'alei misa. Therefore, it's chayev misa if it does it to avodah zarah under all circumstances, even if it's not the derech. Afkoi, likewise, regarding all other elements of she avodah zarah pnim, something which is considered part of the avodah in Beis HaMikdash, if done to avodah zarah, chayev n'alei misa, it's chayev misa. So that's the rule you got to work with. You can't include hugging. There's only one exception, which is bowing. Despite the fact that it's not really technically an avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's done to avodah zarah, you chayiv. Yatza ishtachavo, lidan ba'atzma, so it's sort of singled out on its own. Yotza Zvicha, Lidin al Kalkuloi, and leave Zvicha to provide an example for all the other Avodis. And basically what happens is like this. Back to the two categories. Any Masa which is considered Derech Avodit Avodah Zarah, Chayav Misa, whatever it may be. What if it's not Derech Avodit? So now, if it's Zvicha, Haktara, Nisuch, things which are considered Avodah in Beis HaMikdash, if it's done to Avodah Zarah, under all circumstances, it's a Chayav. And one more, Hishtach Avodah. Omamar. Had the pasuk only said Zoveyach, if he does Shechita, Yachram, he gets killed. I would say, oh, but Zoveyach Kachim, Bachotzikos Madar, we're speaking about a person who takes a karban, Oila, whatever, and takes it outside of Beis HaMikdash and does Shechita there. It's not talking about Avodah Zarah. What do you mean? For that, we already have a pasuk. You're not allowed to do that. Zoveyach Kachim, Bachotz, Karis. Who? We already know there's Karis. Not Yacharam. Yacharam means that the Bezin should punish him, right? It's death penalty by way of the Bezin. No, he gets Karis by Shemina Shamayim. Why would I think that the Pasuk is referring to that? Says Dimas Sakadaitach. Right? If we already know he gets Karis, how can we say that he's Yachram, he's getting killed by the Bezin? Sakadaitach Amina, perhaps I would say there are two options for this person. He asks Rebbe if he's warned beforehand, Tolo, the Bezin gives him Misa. Kilo asks Rebbe if he's not warned Karis, he gets Misa from Hashem. That's what I would think. From Hashem, the point is no. We have the extra word Elohim. Lo'evech le'Elohim Yachram. I'm not speaking about this type of. It's about a person who's worshipping idols. Amalei Rav Rav Chanan Labaye. Ema Yotza Hishtachavo L'lamed Al Kalkulei. Perhaps, just like bowing to Avodah Zarah is Asur under all circumstances and Chayv Misa, perhaps that's going to indicate regarding all other activities as well. Anything which is considered Kavod for Avodah Zarah, like hugging, kissing, all that, is also Chayv Misa. But we already negated that before because we said, because why would the Pasuk then single out Shechita, Zaveach Yochram? If everything that's considered an expression of Kavod is Chayiv, certainly Zvicha is, right? So why would the Pasuk have to mention that again? Apparently, it's not so far. You can't take it so wide. You can't broaden it so much. Only Shtachavoya is Chayiv. Or, like we said, acts which are considered avoided in the Beis HaMikdash. Otherwise, chibo, gifuf, nishuk is not. Right? V'chitem, because according to you, zaveach lamali. If you're going to take it all the way, so why does the pasuk have to say zaveach? We already know. Any form of kavod avodah zarah is asur. So then, well, you know what? Lugufei. Maybe the reason why the Torah singled out zvicha, not to minimize or mitigate his responsibilities and to limit his liability. No. Luke of Faith, to teach you something pertaining to Zvicha itself. To tell you, let's say, rather than engaging the classic Shechita L'Avodah Zarah, he didn't do that. He did Shechita for his own sake. But as he was doing Shechita, he was thinking in his mind, you know what, I'm going to take the blood of this animal and sprinkle it to L'Avodah Zarah. And the Pasuk would be telling us that he's Chayiv. Because when he does the Shechita, with that in mind, he's sort of preparing the dam for the Avodah Zarah, that's already considered enough of a violation, enough of Avodah Zarah in his Chayiv. The Mechashvin, you can have intent, may Avodah, from this Avodah, during the Shechita, La Avodah, to a different Avodah. You can plan ahead and you're Chayiv. Maybe that's all the Pasuk is teaching us. A big Chiddush, the Itmas we learned. Hashechet Behem Alizrik Dam Alavodah Zkechav. Person takes a Behem, does Shechita, without the intent of worshipping. Now, rather, his kavana is to eventually do the zrika. He's preparing the dam of the carbon to do zrika by the zara. Well, after chelbo, love it to come. Alternatively, he has a mind to take the fats and burn it by the zara. What happens right now? Does this constitute by the zara? Has he done anything at this point? Rabbi Yechon Amar Asura. Yeah, the animal is asur bahana. And Rashi explains, he learns from the halacha of pigul, by a carbon, right? You do the shechita with that in mind, to do the zrika of the dam in a week from now, that's called pigul. Right? So in the Beis HaMikdash, he takes a carbon and does a shechita with wrong intention, wrong plan, that's called pigul, and it invalidates the carbon. So we sort of import that concept of a desire as well, even though he's not currently worshipping, The act of shechita is not meant as worship, but since it's preparing for future worship, that's considered. He says, no, the animal is still mutter. He hasn't really affected the animal. So now, who says that the carbon, the animal is now usur, it's considered an offering to Avodah Zarah. So obviously, if you did Avodah Zarah, he's chayv misa. There's no point in having an extra pasuk for that. We were suggesting that the pasuk is coming to teach us this. There's no need. We already know this from the halacha of pigel, right? So that would solve our question. El Reish Lakish, Bayikra, B'Kont Reish Lakish, who says the animal is still kosher, because we don't learn from the pigel, which is a carbon-related halacha. We don't learn over to Avodah Zarah. So then, perhaps that's why it says Leveach. To tell you that in this type of circumstance, even though the animal is not affected, but the person has committed Avodah Zarah and he gets misa. Maskel Rapapa. So Rapapa has a question. On this notion that according to Rabbi Yechon, it's assumed that he gets misa. Rabbi Yechon, you don't need a pasuk to apply misa to this type of person. Adkan like us Rabbi Yechon, perhaps Rabbi Yechon only applies an isur to the behema. Behema is already committed to Avodah Zarah, therefore it's asur. Avogav Labrakatolu. Maybe the person wouldn't get misa. I mean, it's not full-fledged Avodah Zarah at this point. He's just planning, he's just preparing. So you can't assume the Kohen Rabbi Yechanan, you would get misa even without that pasuk of Zaveach. Vasa krol l'chuyu v'gavra l'ktala. Yeah, perhaps you need the pasuk, even Kohen Rabbi Yechanan, to apply misa, l'chuyu v'gavra, to make the person chayiv misa l'ktala. On the flip side, you're assuming it's going to Reish Lakish. We need a pasuk to apply misa to this type of person under this type of circumstance. Reish Lakish be by Yikra. Who needs a pasuk under Reish Lakish? It's obvious that it gets misa. Adkan like kashari Reish Lakish, perhaps Reish Lakish is only allowing use of the animal. El Behema, he says the animal wasn't yet offered to Avodah Zarah because it's only sort of in preparatory stages. Aval gavra b'katalu, but the person who engaged in this form of activity, he did shechita with this in mind, he gets misa. I'll give you a raya. I'll prove to you. I'll show you a precedent where the item is not yet considered an offering, and not yet affected, but the person has committed avodah zarah. Imagine a person bows to a mountain. Rashi brings a pasuk. A mountain cannot become asur. It doesn't become asur. The har mutter, the mountain still remains accessible and useful and mutter. V'ayv de b'sayif, a person who worships the mountain, he gets killed with sayif. So clearly, the man and the object are two separate, distinct entities, unrelated, and therefore, pretty much answers our question. We don't need a pasuk. It's possible that a person who does this is chayv misa. So we don't need a pasuk of zaveach lim yachram for this. So it's an extra pasuk to tell you that that a person who does any sort of element of Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash outside the Avodah Zarah, he's Chayv Misa, even though it's not the Derech of worship for that particular idol. So in summation, again, we have two categories. A person does Avodah Zarah in a Derech of Avodah Zarah, right? He follows a specific prescribed formula, prescribed acts, prescribed to this specific Avodah Zarah, it's Misa. Alternatively, if he imports, so to speak, any form of Avodah from the Beis HaMikdash, exports it to the Avodah Zarah, Shechita, Tzrika, Nisach, his Chayim Misa as well, and likewise, his Tachavo, bowing, we learn from a special pasuk, is also covered under this umbrella. All the best to you, and much Hatzlacha.